At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, it's Friday. Let's have a cocktail with Anna Glavinsky.
Anna Glavinsky here, and The Spirit of the Rainforest is a stunning new book by Dr. Rosa Vasquez Espinosa. Born in the Amazon and trained in Western science, so Dr. Rosa bridges these two diverse worlds, one of data and one of deep ancestral wisdom, which is perfect for this show, and it's the Friday cocktail. She's here to share some of her stories today from her life, her scientific work, her travels, and her ancestral background as well, and to help us understand what the rainforest still has to teach all of us. So, Rosa, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's really wonderful to have you here. Where are you right now at this moment?
Hi, Anna. So lovely to be here with you. Thank you for the invite. Such an honor. I'm in the UK right now.
Ah, you're in the UK. So what's the weather like? Got to ask the question.
It's actually quite really nice. It's sunny and we're on the countryside, so the views are lovely. I'm based in the UK now, but of course I'm so often in Peru with all of the science and exploration work we do.
The UK must be so different, even if you're in one of the most countryside-y parts of the UK, must be so different from where you grew up in the Amazon. Can you just give us a contrast to what the landscape is like?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in Peru and I spent so much of my childhood between the city, the Andean mountains and the Amazon rainforest. And in the wild, in places like the Amazon, you always have to be mindful, right? Of if you're stepping on a pile of brown leaves, you have to be careful that there are no hidden snakes. If you are touching a tree, you have to watch out for killer caterpillars. In the UK, in some of my first hikes across the beautiful forests and countryside, I don't have to look out for those dangers. So it is a different experience, but I've been definitely, I'm falling in love with the incredible biodiversity here as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the flowers, you know, the diversity in the flowers that that emerge at the different times of the year because of the, you know, the varying seasons. We don't have, you know, a deep winter in South America, in the Amazon. And so I think that does lead to other forms of life, which I do always appreciate. I think it's finding the beauty in the small details that give me hope.
That's such a lovely, lovely point, actually. And Britain does have some really beautiful flowers all year round. Yeah, that's, thanks for noticing. And your grandmother was a healer, so also surrounded by the Amazon, by the rainforest. What does that mean? And how do you relate that to, you know, scientific studies today?
I have such a unique heritage that the more I've delved in the Western world, I understood how unique it was. My grandmother was born and raised in the Andean mountains and learned as a little girl that all plants are medicine. Even her favorite quote to me growing up, it's from the smallest to the largest plant, they're all medicine. And so she knew and learned from their elders around how to create medicinal cocktails to treat headaches and stomach aches and skin conditions. And her grandmother was a semi-nomad person within a community in the central Peruvian Amazon. And she was known as a powerful shaman, quote unquote, known to revive people from the dead. And of course, I didn't have a chance to meet my grandma's grandmother, but I think it is a deep connection to nature and want to understand it from a different lens. I understood it from a cultural and spiritual lens with my upbringing, but I wanted to understand it through science, and that really has led to my decade-long career as a scientist and getting to use that science for conservation.
So why has science sort of rejected traditional herbal medicine for so long? What's your response to that?
I think that science has disregarded traditional knowledge as non-scientific, but in my opinion, as I straddle between literal both worlds, one of an analytical mindset and one of indigenous wisdom and spirituality, I see that traditional knowledge is in the basis scientific. You observe, you measure, you test, and you reiterate. And truly, what we're doing in the laboratory, it is quite a similar process. Of course, you have different methods, but I think there's so much to learn from one another, and it is, I think, welcoming different points of view that would make science even more powerful than what it already is and really create that missing key that we are in desperate need of to protect our planet.
I think when you say that plants, all plants are medicine, that, you know, some people might not naturally warm to that idea straight away, but there is a logic there, you know, that they could contain some chemicals or whatever that react with you in a certain way, like you're saying, with you test that through a process and it would work on you. What about more sort of spiritual connections that you talk about? You know, you have a spiritual connection in the rainforest. You talked about your great-great-grandmother being a shaman. So it's even another step beyond just herbal medicine, literally. What are we talking about here?
There are so many lessons we can gather from indigenous wisdom, and that is what really inspired me to write this book. And I share many of these stories, for example, even considering ayahuasca, which is known as a plant medicine that is so powerful to even acquire knowledge as well as to cure disease. But there are so many trees, flowers that are associated with a spirit, even for many indigenous communities in the Amazon. When their elderly die, they believe that they go to live inside and reside their spirits within the tallest, oldest, most sacred trees. And so when we talk about deforestation in that case, you're not talking about just bringing down a key biodiversity species, but also a grandfather or a grandmother. And so I think there is a need right now in our planet to reconnect with our wild, to rekindle with our inner child and curiosity. And I think through the lens of science as well as indigenous wisdom, we can do that.
And you obviously wrote your book because you want to put a voice to this topic. You want more people to think about it and hear about it. Do you feel very alone in the endeavor, or do you feel like there is a growing or even diminishing community around you that share those beliefs and that understanding?
I think there, with all the pressures and challenges that our planet is facing and our society is facing too, we are seeing a new wave of explorers and scientists emerging in the deepest parts of our Amazon and planet. And these are local indigenous youth and female and others that want to not just be subject of study, but they want to be the ones leading those studies. And so I see my position as a bridge to facilitate, because I do have that unique Western science education as well as that indigenous upbringing, to create a path to facilitate more of our colleagues that are incredible with so much wisdom to be leading this kind of work. And I mention many examples in the book, but I'm hoping the spirit of the rainforest, it opens many more windows to this new wave of exploration and sustainability.
That's what I was just about to ask you, actually, about examples, you know, the scientific study that you're curious about or that you've explored and led. Could you give us one or two examples of that?
Of course. Yeah, they are all spread throughout the book. A key study that our team has become most known for is on stingless bees. And if any listener out there has never heard about stingless bees, I highly suggest you go look it up. We have a few articles, including one covering the New York Times. But these are bees that are native to the tropics, to the Amazon. They do not sting. And not only are they fascinating because of that, but they make important recent medicinal honey that communities use to treat from infertility to eye infections to inflammation to even the symptoms of COVID-19. And with my team, we were the first ones to conduct a chemical analysis on stingless bee honey in the Peruvian Amazon. And we have used that plus a bunch of other scientific work to advocate for the creation of a new law that for the first time protects stingless bees and their ecosystems in Peru, a historic law that just got approved a few months ago.
Oh, fantastic. That really is something to be proud of, like actually making waves there. Well done. And just from an anecdotal point of view, your experience of taking the ayahuasca, over here we call it a drug. I don't know whether to you it's an experience or there's another word that are used for it, but it is sort of famous. People even from the West go on holidays specifically to take part in rituals and take this drug. Could you tell us about it anecdotally?
Ayahuasca in the Amazon, it's a plant medicine. So it's a powerful teacher and a powerful spirit. And so that is the approach and perspective that people, the relationship that people have with this specific plant. It is actually one of the ways that people use to acquire knowledge. So how do people in the Amazon know what plant to go to treat a specific disease? Of course, by telling stories, the elderly to the younger ones, but also through the visions and dreams that they acquire through ayahuasca. We can talk extensively about the scientific and neurological aspects of that, but ultimately there is a strong spirituality component to it. And I'll just give you a sneak peek, and I mentioned this in chapter 11 particularly. I had a wild experience and I consumed it as a way to get closer to the medicinal perspective of local people. I became a black jaguar in a dream in the ayahuasca, and I was able to smell medicinal plants, and that led me to think about scientific work in a way that I hadn't before, which is now leading to really exciting new research. So I think there's so much that we don't know that we can learn from.
Absolutely. God, sounds fascinating. How important is the Amazon? It's like one of the most biodiverse places on the planet. They say it's the lungs of planet Earth.
They are not just the lungs of planet Earth in the sense that they're literally cleaning the air, the very earth that we breathe, but they're such a critical ecosystem for the water that eventually enters into our oceans and then impacts the currents, the weather, the storms in other regions and even continents from Australia to Europe to North America. It is also such a key place where if you like coffee, if you like chocolate, then you should care about the Amazon, because that is where some of these beautiful food that we enjoy and that nurtures us comes from as well. So I think everyone's life is one way or another impacted by the Amazon rainforest from an ecological, from a medicinal, agricultural, cosmetic perspective. So when we talk about the importance of the Amazon, I think we're really talking about one of the hearts of the planet. And it is vital that we do everything we can to protect the beauty and the importance of this place. And I'm hoping that this book does that too.
And you're obviously talking about some controversial issues as well, whether that's because people believe or don't believe that spirituality has anything to do with science and medicine, whether it's because people aren't realizing just how important it is to protect the Amazon, you know, pharmaceutical companies, farming companies, etc. Have you had any backlash throughout your career to your thoughts or the things that you want to talk about?
Yeah, and I'll give you a key example. Recently, with my organization, Amazon Research International, and our team of colleagues, we launched the first scientific article where the first author is an Ashaninka indigenous member who contributed extensively to deserve that position, who we train as well in scientific methods, so he could contribute through his unique cultural lens and achieve incredible work. And it is how we see the future of science and exploration. But we did got backlash in Peru from different academics saying that that is not valid because he didn't had a PhD scientific education. And I think that is normal when you're doing new things. You are disrupting, and we need to be okay with that because we are paving the new way to hopefully do science in this region. And it's not going to stop us. If anything, it's actually, I think, just going to inspire us to make more change.
And you're clearly on the ground as a scientist. You know what you're doing. You're pushing for that change. This book, who's it written for? Is it accessible to your average reader?
Absolutely. This book has been written through a lens of love and admiration and curiosity for nature. So anybody that enjoys the smell of soils after rain, or that enjoys to dip their toes in the water, or just admiring a bird or a flower, I think anyone can connect with this book. And I integrate key, really fascinating science in ways that anybody can access it. But I also introduce different perspectives of the world and our planet that I think we can all learn from wherever we are.
Fantastic. Well, that book is called The Spirit of the Rainforest. It's by Dr. Rosa Vasquez Espinosa. You can find it on Amazon or, of course, on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop. Dr. Rosa, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Thank you.